Hi and welcome to Mind Medicine, Tea for the Soul. Today's podcast is all about something that's really close to my heart and probably close to yours as well if you come from the northwest of England. Today's podcast is all about the Rochdale Pioneers. Now, the Rochdale Pioneers are known worldwide, and I feel quite privileged because this is my hometown. And to think that the Rochdale Pioneers started off here is a real honour. But the Rochdale Pioneers, if you haven't heard of them, where have you been? Well, we've all heard of the cooperative movement, haven't we? And we've all heard of the co-op banks and the co-op stores. Well, believe it or not, the Rochdale Pioneers were responsible for bringing that principle about. So, as I said, the Rochdale Pioneers, the known worldwide really, is a group of people who wanted to create a more fair and equal society. And they wanted to do this by setting up a kind of store, well, a store, where people could buy good quality, high quality products at affordable prices, because at that time, what was happening, there was a real divide in the classes. And so the rich were getting richer and the poor were getting very, very much poorer. And, for some people, they could hardly afford to put food on the table because they had big families then as well. So they thought, well, something's really wrong here and we've got to pull together. So as a community, the whole of that community pulled together and created this store that would sell goods and products at a price that everybody could afford. And, you know, it wasn't just for their group either. It was for everyone who wanted to use it. So that was the real reason behind the cooperative movement. Now, alongside that, the Rochdale Pioneers wanted to promote honesty and social responsibility in the way that things operated. But most of all, they wanted to promote like a democratic decision-making system. And that was something that was really needed at that time. It was hard because there were lots of groups that were above them. And those groups felt really threatened by what the cooperative movement did, because they felt that they were taking away their economic system as well, which was working. It was working really well because it was benefiting the rich. So the cooperative movement began in the early 19th century in Britain, in Rochdale. And I say that with such pride because, well, it did. And the actual store, the original store where it all began, still stands today on a place called Toad Lane in Rochdale. Now, it has been refurbished, but part of the original architecture still stands. So you're probably wondering what was happening at the time that this came about. Well, it came about at the time of the Industrial Revolution. And what was happening then was there was an increasing number of machinery that was being brought in. And it completely changed society, because what happened was the livelihoods of many workers were threatened. And what seemed to be happening around that time, it was 1844, were that machines were slowly taking away the place of a good old-fashioned worker. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's happening all over again, isn't it? I mean, if you think about the self-service checkouts, it might seem trivial. But it's a machine taking the place of the good old-fashioned worker. So I often wonder whether or not it's going full circle. Anyway, that's what they thought would be a really good idea. But although it seemed like a perfect idea and a really good opportunity for people that were living in deep, deep poverty and couldn't even afford to eat on some days, some groups, like I said, really opposed it. And they opposed the whole idea of cooperatives, as I mentioned before, businessmen and political establishments, because their system was working. But the pioneers were also stuck between a rock and a hard place, because although you wouldn't think this would happen, actual local businessmen, local shops, corner shops, as we know them, were actually opposed to it too, because They felt that the pioneers would threaten their business as well and their livelihood. But another thing that the political and businessmen groups did, they spread the word that perhaps the goods and products that the pioneers were selling at affordable prices weren't up to standard. Now, that's not actually true as we know it, but that's what they wanted to put about, because you've got to remember at that time, people were very uncertain. This was a really new idea. And so you've got these really well-read, well-knowledgeable people telling you that what the pioneers are doing might seem good, but in fact, you're not getting high quality goods. And some people actually believed it. But another thing that these high powered groups put out was that the pioneers or the cooperatives might be used to spread radical political ideas. You know, like being able to think for yourself or manage your own finances and your own food and what you put on your table, that kind of radical idea. You know, the ones that they didn't want you to have. So all of these things, it was all up in the air at the time, and everybody saw them as a threat, but they pulled together and they jumped through hoops of fire, did the Rochdale pioneers. They worked really hard and they were able to overcome all of that opposition with the help of their local community. But who were they? Who were the pioneers? You know, what kind of people were they? Well, we know that they lived in poverty. But the pioneers were actually a group of 28 weavers and artisans. And between them, those 28, they founded the Rochdale Equitable Pioneers Society in Rochdale in 1844. And what they did from their hard work, they brought about a co-op store. And that co-op store sold goods, basic goods, at fair prices to all its members. And what's more important, that store was managed by its members democratically. So each member had a vote on how that place was run and what went in there and what went out of there, even if they've never put in. So it didn't matter, it was regardless of their investment in the cooperative movement, they still got a vote. Now that model of democratic management and fair prices, it was successful. And what that did, it paved the way for the way the cooperative movement runs today. Now I didn't know this until I started researching. It was all really new to me, but I've always been interested in the pioneers. What I didn't know was that the Rochdale pioneers also drew up a set of principles. And those principles came to be known as the Rochdale Principles. And what they are remains a cornerstone of the cooperative movement right to this day, the present day. Now, these principles include voluntary and open membership, education, but most importantly, democratic management. So you see, what happened was, and this is why I asked, where have you been if you've never actually heard of the pioneers? The success of the Rochdale pioneers and the cooperative movement, it led to cooperative stores popping up all over the UK and indeed all over the world. So today, cooperatives are a significant part of our global economy. They've got millions of members and employees all across the globe. But I've got a burning question, or I had a burning question before I did this podcast, and I'm sure some of you will have it as well. I hope you do. I hope it's not just me that's being a little bit pessimistic here. But if you're anything like me, you're probably wondering why. If the pioneers fought so tirelessly to make things more affordable, why is the modern day co-op store the most expensive around? I certainly know I don't, well, I didn't shop there. I might think differently now, but I didn't shop there because, well, things just seem far too expensive, don't they? Well, it seems it's a matter of debate now, because I've found out some really interesting facts. You see, it seems the co-op stores, they might not be necessarily more expensive in some ways, But they operate in very different ways than your average supermarket or your average store. So in fact, many cooperatives, they actually work to offer competitive prices to their members and customers. But because the co-ops are owned by the members, those members are seen as customers, if that makes sense. So the cooperatives are owned and they're democratically controlled by the members, who are their primary customers. So what that means is that the cooperatives prioritise serving the needs of them rather than maximising the profits for shareholders, let's say. Now, in order to do this, cooperatives might make different things a priority than, say, what your normal store would do. So, for example, some of the priorities that they might make are to pay fair wages and benefits to their employees. They might buy the products from local or ethical suppliers, or they might invest quite a lot of money in environmentally sustainable practices. Now, by doing these things, it might result in things being a bit more pricey than if you went to other stores that prioritise, you know, making a profit above everything else. But it's really made me think differently about the cooperative movement, and I guess in today's current climate where people are struggling to put food on the table, it does seem like a bit of a cliche, doesn't it, and a bit of a contradiction in itself, to think that the cooperative movement was originally designed to help people put food on the table, but now the prices are too pricey for you to buy from there. So it is a bit of a debate, but when you think about the ethics of how their products are sustained and how they are, you know, bought, purchased, and the deals that they make, it's kind of, I don't know, I still think it tips the scales one way personally. I still think now, the way that it's turned out, it's more for the rich than the poor, because there's only people who have a lot of money can shop there. But again, it depends on your mindset and how ethical you want your buying to be, really. Now, so like I said, that's a bit of a debate to have. It's interesting though, isn't it, when we think about it? But when we do look into the pioneers, or if you have got any idea who the pioneers are and how they function, then you probably notice that the pioneers are all men. But we have to remember that at that time when the pioneers and the cooperative movement came about, the roles of women were very different then. But that being said, when I was doing this podcast, well, when I was researching for it, I didn't feel it right or fair to leave out the name Eliza Brierley. Now, Eliza Brierley was the wife of John Brierley, who was one of the founding members of the Rochdale Society of Equitable Pioneers. They're also known as the Rochdale Pioneers. Now, Eliza Brierley played an important role in the early days of the Rochdale Pioneers because she's said to have been the first person to shop at the cooperative store. And she's the one that's said to have persuaded her husband, John Brierley, to become a cooperative as well, a pioneer. So she was the first person to shop at the store, and she continued to shop there, by all accounts, right through her life. So you see, the Rochdale Pioneers cooperative model proved successful, and it became a prototype for other cooperatives in the United Kingdom, and as I mentioned, globally. So the Rochdale Pioneers principle of democratic control, profit sharing and social responsibility continue to influence cooperative businesses today, and they're remembered as a symbol of cooperation and community empowerment. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, some people may not be familiar with the Rochdale Pioneers, but they were a courageous group of people who did have to jump through hoops of fire to even get heard, but they stuck with it, their communities pulled together, and those courageous individuals finally made it work for their communities and for us now in the present day in many ways. So I want to take a few minutes really to just remember the pioneers. And here are the names of the original Rochdale pioneers: James Daly, James Smithies, Charles Howarth, James Wilkinson, John Bent, William Cooper, Samuel Ashworth, John Hill, James Macaulay, John Holt, Charles Holyoake, James Smith, William Malalou, John Kershaw, James Tweedale, William Harrison, John Collier, John Haig, Abraham Greenwood, James Butterworth, James Standring, Robert Taylor, Benjamin Davis, Thomas Ramsden, Joseph Smith, John Smithies, William Taylor, Isaac Ogden. All these individuals came together to put together what is now the cooperative movement, and they were instrumental in establishing that movement, which now has left its legacy and it's impacted the lives of Rochdale people and people all across the world. The cooperative movement now remains a guiding force for cooperatives all across the globe, and we should be really proud of that. You've been listening to Mind Medicine Tea for the Soul, podcast to nurture and open the mind. My name's Julie Kelly. Please like, share and subscribe to my channel, and let's work together to build happier, healthy communities. Thank you.